This is Murray Yates welcoming you today to Mission Breakthrough. Good afternoon, and this is Murray Yates with Life with a Capital L. Today, we are looking into God's Word, and first of all, we're starting at Psalm 16:11, and the reason being is that we're looking at eternal life. So, what does Psalm 16 have to say? Well, first of all, it says, "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." You know, the marvellous thing is that God's word speaks about eternal life and shows men and women how they can get there. Not only does God's word show them how to get to eternal life, Jesus himself was called the light of this world. He was also known as God's word, as the word of God, the living word of God. So let us have a look further at what Psalm 16:11 has to say. It says, "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Yes, eternal pleasures at your right hand. That is, life which goes on forever once you die. And yet, you need to have made a decision on this earth so that one day you can know that you one day will be going to heaven and have eternal life. In Psalm 119, verse 89, It also says, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations." And here we see the word of God, here the written word of God, can lead us into eternal life as long as we believe it and stand firm on it and invite Jesus Christ into our lives. "Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures." Another one is Isaiah 26 verse 4, and it talks about trust in the Lord forever. "For the Lord is the rock eternal." This is the Lord. When it talks about him being the rock, he is steadfast. You can be sure to believe God's word, and as it talks about eternal life, you can be sure that it is correct. In Matthew 19, verse 16. It talks about how a man came to Jesus. "Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?'" Here was a person who was wanting to know what would happen beyond life, and how could he get there? Well, Jesus' reply was, "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. And Jesus replied, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" And Jesus answered, If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Now, if you were to take that at its face value, it would seem that rich men are not going to enter the kingdom of God. But that isn't, of course, what it is saying. For if this were the only thing Jesus said about salvation, it might sound as though strict adherence to the commandments could earn us a place in heaven. But Jesus said much more that helps explain this verse. For instance, he spoke of outward obedience as an indicator of the condition of a person's heart. He stressed that our relationship with God must be our primary focus, but he also expected obedience to grow out of our relationship with God. And Jesus was not saying we have to become poor to gain eternal life. He was saying that it only takes one thing to block a relationship with God. Some, like the ruler, may be spiritually hindered because they depend on material possessions alone. But others may have to surrender to God such things as fame, extraordinary talent, good looks, or intellectualism. So, we see then that we need to trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is a rock eternal. And in Matthew 19, verse 16, we have seen that about the man who came to Jesus. Now, in John 3, 15, it talks about another aspect. And it says these words. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Who is this person who needs to be lifted up? And what does the Bible mean when it talks about this person being lifted up? Well, first of all, we are told that we need to, first of all, the person is Jesus Christ. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "And this is a testimony God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." And it also says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." The men and women around the world today, they long to know if there is eternal life. And that is life after they die. And perhaps the main reason that Jesus came to this earth was to show men and women how God loves them. But I wonder if you yourself have ever invited Jesus Christ into your life. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to come here to draw water." And Jesus said to her, "You go and call your husband and come back." But she says, "I don't have any husband." And Jesus said, "The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. And our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place which we must worship is in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. And he goes on to say that a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. And God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. And you see, when a person comes to know the Lord, he will find that he has this eternal life. He will be wanting to come and worship God. He will come and he will want to worship him in spirit and in truth, because he has the truth. And in John 5:24, it says these words, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of God. Again, in Romans chapter 1:18-20, it talks about he coming and having eternal life. It says, the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all godliness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, been understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And so here we see again that God has shown men and women the fact that there is eternal life, and he also shares with them the fact that they can come and know him for themselves. And in Romans 6, verse 23, it goes on to talk about the fact that it says these words, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, God wants all men and women to be able to come to him and to realize the fact that while they're living on this earth, that they too have done wrong things, and they have offended God. The thing is that God loves men and women, but they too need to repent and come to him and ask for his forgiveness. And of course, many people have done that. They have found that God is really living and real. They have come and confessed the fact that they are sinners, that they have done wrong. And when they do that and ask Jesus Christ to come into their lives, they can be changed on the inside, and they too will have that promise that God gives to men and women, that promise that gives them eternal life. Life which goes on forever. You see, the Bible also says, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ. And you receive this wonderful gift of God, which leads to eternal life, once you are sorry for your sin and have said so to the Lord. Also, Also, there are other passages in the Word of God that talk about eternal life. You see, God loves you, and he is concerned for you. I have a little booklet in front of me, and this is what it talks about. It says that we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's found in John 3:16. And it goes on to say in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And since God planned for us to have peace and the abundant life right now, why are most people not having this experience? And our problem really is separation from God. And we've mentioned this briefly, but God has created us in his own image to have an abundant life. He did not make us as robots to automatically love and obey him, but they gave us a will and a freedom of choice, and we choose to disobey God and go our own willful way. And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's like having two huge pillars, and man is on one side and God is on the other. And somehow man cannot get away, get across to the other side. For God, who is holy, and men and women who are sinful, we just can't get there. And men and women try good works, they try religion, they try philosophy and morality, but it still doesn't get them to the other side where God is. And the remedy is the cross. And this is why Jesus Christ came to die upon the cross for you and for me. And the reason he did it out of sheer love. Love because he longed to bring men and women into heaven. He wanted them to be able to go to be with him. Now, the thing is this. He realized that men and women couldn't get there alone, because every single one of us do wrong things. And so Jesus Christ, who had never sinned, came into this world and eventually died on a cross for you and for me. Why? Because, as we've mentioned, he loves us. But he was taking the punishment for our sin upon himself. And for Christ also has suffered once for sins, a just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible says that we must trust Jesus Christ and receive him by personal invitation. And it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens a door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And if indeed you do those things, you too will have peace, forgiveness, and abundant life, which will, of course, lead to eternal life. And so today, to receive Jesus Christ as your own Saviour and Lord, you need to admit that, first of all, that you are a sinner. Be willing to turn from your sins. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. And through prayer, invite Jesus Christ to come in and control your life through the Holy Spirit. And today, I'm going to pray a prayer very shortly, which you can join in. That is, if you too want to meet up with your Saviour, and you've never ever prayed a prayer like this before, inviting Jesus Christ to come into your life. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I now invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as Lord and Saviour, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and invited Jesus Christ into your life, you too have come into his family. That is a family of all men and women who have invited Jesus Christ into their lives as Lord and their Saviour. Today we are just going to close with another song today, but remember this, you too can begin a wonderful new life, and as you read the Word of God, you can start to grow, and you will find that the Lord will give you a new strength and by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you too will, as I say, begin to grow as you read the Word of God. This is Murray Yates signing off for this week.